Jimmy Carter's life reads like an American fable. A barefoot farm boy from tiny Archery, Georgia, who rose to become president and later a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Once dismissed as a failed president, historical reassessment has revealed a leader whose policies on human rights, energy, and the environment were decades ahead of their time. But perhaps most remarkable is what came after the White House, a 40-plus year post-presidency that transformed global health and conflict resolution. Growing up during the Depression in rural Georgia, young Hot Carter lived in a house without electricity or running water until age 11. Though his family enjoyed relative prosperity compared to neighbors, Carter's upbringing instilled both humility and fierce determination. This complex childhood, privileged yet modest, religious yet questioning, created the foundation for his lifelong commitment to human dignity while also forging the inner steel that would carry him through both triumph and adversity. Carter's character was shaped by remarkable influences. His father, Earl, was both hero and harsh judge, a successful businessman who instilled Christian faith and fierce competitiveness. His mother, Lillian, demonstrated moral courage by treating black and white patients equally in segregated South. Perhaps most significantly, Rachel Clark, a black woman living on the Carter property, shaped Jimmy's spiritual foundation. "Much more than my parents," Carter later wrote, "she talked to me about the religious and moral values that shaped a person's life." His outsider identity began early, considering himself a country boy from Archery rather than part of metropolitan Plains. At the Naval Academy, Carter endured hazing while quietly supporting Wesley Brown, the first African-American graduate. Though graduating 59th in a class of 820, he developed exceptional discipline and technical mastery. His most influential mentor was Admiral Hyman Rickover, who resembled Carter's father, demanding and intimidating. During his interview, Rickover asked if Carter had always done his best. When Carter admitted he hadn't, Rickover asked, "Why not?" A question that haunted Carter for decades and crystallized his lifelong commitment to excellence. His service in the nuclear submarine program built technical expertise that later informed his presidential energy policies. When his father died in 1953, Carter resigned his commission to return to Plains and rescue the family peanut business. Carter's political journey began in 1962 with a Georgia state Senate seat won after exposing ballot fraud hidden under a corrupt political boss's daughter's bed. His 1970 gubernatorial campaign was controversial. He used coded racial appeals to conservative white voters while maintaining deniability about racism. When his 1971 inaugural declaration that the time for racial discrimination is over stunned Georgia, supporters felt betrayed while critics questioned his sincerity. As governor, Carter implemented progressive racial policies, appointing unprecedented numbers of African Americans to state positions. His improbable 1976 presidential campaign began with virtually no national recognition. Jimmy who? Through relentless retail politics, a post-Watergate emphasis on honesty, and strategic early victories in Iowa and New Hampshire, Carter secured the Democratic nomination despite establishment skepticism. His narrow victory over Gerald Ford made him the first Deep South president since before the Civil War. Carter's presidency featured significant accomplishments, often overshadowed by economic challenges and the Iran hostage crisis. The Camp David Accords stand as his greatest diplomatic triumph. In September 1978, Carter sequestered Egyptian President Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Begin at Camp David for 13 days of intense negotiations. When talks nearly collapsed, Carter's persistence saved them, personally drafting 23 versions of the agreement. The resulting peace treaty has endured for over 40 years. Carter normalized relations with China, enabling its entrance into the global economy. When Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping asked about sending 5,000 students to American universities, Carter suggested 100,000. His human rights policy transformed from a Cold War weapon into a beacon of light for all mankind, planting seeds for future democratization movements. Environmentally, Carter proved visionary, protecting 104 million acres in Alaska, doubling the national park system, and becoming the first world leader to recognize climate change as a serious threat. Despite early achievements, Carter's presidency unraveled amid multiple crises. The Iranian Revolution in 1979 left 52 Americans hostage for 444 days, with nightly news coverage highlighting America's helplessness. Domestically, Carter faced unprecedented stagflation. Double-digit inflation, reaching 13.5%, combined with high unemployment, soaring gas prices, and interest rates hitting 20%. His July 1979 Crisis of Confidence speech initially resonated for its candor about a national spiritual crisis, but Carter undermined this message with an abrupt cabinet purge days later. The failed Desert One hostage rescue mission in April 1980 became the presidency's lowest point when a helicopter collision killed 8 American servicemen in the Iranian desert. These compounding crises left Carter vulnerable to Ronald Reagan's optimistic message, resulting in a decisive 1980 defeat. In a final cruel twist, the Iranian hostages were released minutes after Reagan's inauguration. After leaving office in debt and despair, Carter experienced an epiphany about transforming his presidential library into a small Camp David for problem-solving and conflict resolution. This vision became the Carter Center, pioneering a new model for presidential libraries as active forces for global change. His most impressive post-presidential work came in global health, where after witnessing guinea worm disease in Ghana, he mobilized resources that reduced cases from 3.5 million to just 100 worldwide. As a freelance diplomat, Carter traveled to over 140 countries, often as an unofficial envoy. His most notable intervention came in 1994 when he secured an agreement with North Korea that defused a dangerous nuclear standoff. At Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains, he maintained a commitment to teaching Sunday school nearly every week from 1981 until late 2019, drawing thousands from around the world to hear his teachings on forgiveness and agape love. At 96, Carter remained active in Plains, living in the same modest two-bedroom ranch house he and Rosalind built in 1961 for $17,000. His journey from segregated Georgia to global humanitarian reveals a man constantly evolving, learning from mistakes, and finding his greatest purpose in service rather than political power. Carter redefined the post-presidency through humanitarian work instead of pursuing wealth through corporate boards and speaking fees. His disease prevention programs saved countless lives, while his conflict mediation fostered peace worldwide. His life embodies America's ideals and contradictions. The barefoot boy from Plains who became president yet maintained his connection to ordinary people, shopping at the Dollar General and dining at public restaurants. In our cynical age, Carter reminds us that moral purpose can transcend politics. Failures need not define us, and our greatest contributions may emerge unexpectedly. His example challenges us all. What will we do with our own post-presidencies, those chapters after our main careers end? Will we rest on past achievements, or, like Carter, find new ways to wage peace, fight disease, and build hope?